JTD, best coffee podcast in coffee podcast history.
Oh, coming at you. Coming at you live. At ya. But recording.
Coming at you.
Man, what a week, Gregor.
Oh, it's been a week, all right.
You finally had something to do this week?
I did have something to do this week. I watched the oppressed French people storm the Bastille.
Oh, Sacré Bleu.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sacré Blanc is the White House. Well, not White House, but Capitol building is a white building. So maybe it's Sacré Blanc. It was a lot of Sacré Blanc people storming the U.S. Capitol building.
I don't see color. I wouldn't see it.
I did. It's like somebody poured milk and camo all over the steps.
My favorite piece of all this was all the playback. And then once the internet gets a hold of all this content, these guys were climbing. And I don't know why they were climbing the wall, because there's obviously stairs all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know what the situation was with climbing certain parts.
And they put the climbing to Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
And then the dude fell and it was like.
It was a lady. That was a lady that fell. Yeah.
Oh, it was so great. And looked like she hit so hard too.
It was all do 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 do.
I love it. That was the funniest thing I saw. And what's great about it is it was posted by a bunch of celebrities. So it just made it made it funnier.
She's famous now.
She's
good. I ain't gonna lie, that fall was for her, that fall looked pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
She ain't feel good.
Hey, maybe you should just stay home.
Listen.
Or stay in the house.
We're not going to get too deep into this. It was obviously an atrocity what happened, just meaning in terms of why it happened. Like,
yeah,
I mean, I understand revolutions for the sake of a real reason, but this was pretty ridiculous. At the end of the day, it's unfortunate because five people died, because that police officer died a day or two later.
Yeah. They hit him in the head with a fire extinguisher.
That's what happened to him?
That's what I read.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Who the hell's doing that? You don't hit people with fire extinguishers.
I mentioned this the other day, and you know, of course, you know, a lot of Black Twitter is mentioning the same thing. But I'm amazed. I'm dead serious when I say this. I'm amazed at the restraint that was shown. I don't understand how more people weren't shot.
I think there should have been a lot more people shot.
Like, it just blew my mind. I don't know what made the police officers show so much restraint. I know everybody wants to say, well, you know, it was a bunch of white people instead of Black people and this and that. But there were some downright, you know, seeing some of the emerging video that's coming out, there was some downright, like, absolutely frightening and crazy moments that were going on in there.
You know, I think some of this plays into it too, because, you know, a lot of the unrest that took place in late May, June, July, I think anybody in law enforcement is terrified to use their gun. For not just fear of losing their job, but spending the rest of their life in jail for something that could be deemed unlawful.
I guess it's possible. I just think it's an ugly day. It's an ugly mark on our country, obviously.
They should have.
Like, I didn't know it was this easy to push into the Capitol building. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I would never would have thought this. I didn't know that I could legitimately have shown up with, at some points it looked like I could have shown up with 50 people and breached a certain point at any, you know, at will.
It's pretty wild. I think
in some of those areas. Well, of course it's going to change now.
And I saw
it's going to be like the airport. Remember the airports, how they used to be, when you used to be able just to, I mean, it just was the easiest process, and now it's a tedious process. That's what it's going to become. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's going to change. The good news is I'm never going to try and storm anything unless
I stormed your mama's house last week.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Episode 60 taking a turn.
Thing is, she beat the shit out of me. I didn't make it but one step. Hey,
I ain't seen her in a while. I'll tell you right now, she probably got.
Yeah, she would have shot.
She got a couple.
She probably would have shot.
She got a couple on you.
Yeah, she would have shot.
Doing big George, things with the video editing, Gregor.
Yeah, what is this? What is this video editing stuff that's going on with you?
I'm waiting. because I'm trying to learn something. You know, we're always trying to build here at Just a Drip. So I'm trying to teach myself some things, and Shoochuck put me onto some shit that Instagram puts a lot more effort into reels, and not effort. That's the wrong word.
Right. They put more emphasis. Yes. It's their baby right now.
They want people to create reels. They don't want people to just walk into a store and do a story and all that shit.
Well, or call it like it is. They just want to make sure they enjoy the TikTok success.
Yeah. But people on TikTok are actually creating these TikToks. They're not just, at least from what I see from my 15-year-old
son. It depends on how you're using TikTok, right? There's different types of, like, TikTok is used in various ways. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah,
they're putting skits and stuff together. I think that's what they're going after.
Some people use TikToks the way Reels is being used now, though. And that was before it became, you know, they made this Reels concept. But
yeah, so we did something. Did a little video for Christmas when we did the Mr. Black and the cold fashion.
We didn't talk much about that on the podcast, by the way.
We didn't because we did an Instagram live.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I mean, almost broke the internet. I think Instagram went down for like a minute because it was
1 or 2 minutes.
Overloaded the servers. But we did this little reel and put it up there to promote the episode. Now, the cool part about it is when we post a story, we might get, you know, maybe 2,000, 4,000 views on a story. We post the reel, we get in like 25,000. So yeah. Instagram's is pushing the reel concept really hard to a broader audience. So now to launch the episodes, I'm trying to create reels for every episode. So I got my phone and I got my gimbal and I'm kind of recording the process of setting up for the podcast, hoping that, you know, we'll get more people downloading and listening. I mean, there's not many people left in America that aren't subscribed and downloading and consuming all of this delicious content.
That's the minority.
So it's good. And I'm telling you right now, you people need to go back through our catalog and pick up some of this coffee if it's possible. Cause sometimes we buy it and then it's sold out because word gets out.
Yeah. That's called the JTD effect.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the halo effect in Apple, you know, where you get an iPhone and then all of a sudden you get a MacBook Pro and then you get a, you know, Apple TV.
Or the butterfly effect with Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher comes to your house and makes you a cold brew.
I mean,
where the hell did you come from, Ashton?
Man, what a great concept. You know how like celebrities, they have that thing where celebrities can wish people like a happy birthday.
Cameo.
They send them a video. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. How about we have celebrities like, you know, come over and like make you a latte. That'd be great.
Who do you want?
Well, we're going to have to start. Latte. We're going to have to start with people like McLovin.
Yeah. Pauly Shore.
Damn, I almost said I'm done. I almost said what's his name? Who is the Sam Kennison, but obviously he can't. Yeah, he can't do that.
Postmortem from the grave.
Could you imagine Sam Kennison in your coffee, you know, doing the oh in the kitchen?
Creamy or what? You want any foam? Yeah, that'd be a tough one.
Damn, man. I was like 30 years too late on that one.
Yeah, you were.
That's been about 30 years, huh? Yeah, it's been almost, I think it's been like 29 years since he died. That's crazy.
He was good. You know what's great is no one has ever tried to mimic that style.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible, right?
I don't think you're stealing jokes from Sam Kennison.
Yeah.
That's not going to
happen. He was like comedy's, I guess the word would be bad boy, right, at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, he was up there. Nobody really screamed at audiences like he did. What are you going to get into this one? I kind of want to get in this one because I've been watching videos.
You put this next topic in here, George.
Because, you know, because I spend all these time in these streets. And I'm sure everybody who listens to music as much as we do have seen this Eminem versus Snoop beef starting up. I had to do some research on this because I had no idea.
Okay.
I had no idea that there was any animosity between these two. Saw a great video on YouTube. And apparently, Eminem reached out to Snoop for one of his albums. And Snoop went ahead and gave him a release or gave him some kind of story. And then Snoop had reached out to get something from M and then got like pushed back.
Yeah. And this is like way back in the 90s.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, this was after M did a song with Snoop and Nate Dogg.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this is way back in the 90s that this happened.
I didn't know that. I didn't know I was building. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, Snoop says something about how he ain't in his top 10 or something. And then I don't know.
Eminem that was said, on an interview just recently.
Yeah.
He said this. Yeah.
And look, all that stuff aside, this is, in my opinion, and I'm pretty good at sniffing out the BMing. I think this is a shitty attempt to create a versus between Snoop and M on some kind of platform.
I think that would be a huge mistake. You're talking about two totally different styles of rap.
Yeah.
That have two totally different cultures that embrace them. So like, you know, when you think about like Gucci Mane and Jeezy, that's neighborhood almost, you know what I mean? Like the same city, similar era.
Didn't Eminem verse DMX already?
No, DMX. It was DMX and DMX and Snoop.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Said Eminem. Sorry, you confused me there. My bad. It was DMX and Snoop. Which, I mean, granted, same era, totally different coast. But damn, it was I ain't gonna lie. It was a good versus. I watched that whole one and at first I was like, how many songs, like straight up, I was like, how many songs is DMX going to have for this? His catalog is nice, man.
I felt bad because he looked out of breath and he couldn't keep up with what the process was going. And they're all his songs.
I don't think DMX has had an easy life, man.
No, I think he's troubled with some stuff. But I will say, if they're not going to do a versus, they're trying to build up some kind of need or want, kind of like all those years of Jay and Nas going at it, and then all of a sudden Nas comes out in a big ass concert, and you know, and then they hug.
Well, because he signed Jay's label, and you know, because Jay was the president of Def Jam at the time, all that stuff was going on.
I think they're building up for something like that. This is the weakest.
I actually really hope not.
The weakest beef I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. Yeah, first of all, somebody posted that the other day, said y'all too old to be trying to beef right now.
They are. Isn't Snoop 50?
Was it 50 that said that?
No, isn't Snoop 50?
Yeah, he's something 50, 51, something like that.
And M's not far behind. He's older than me.
Yeah, I think M's like exactly my age. Yeah, so I think I'm he's 106.
I'm like almost 29 and he's I want to say like he's 47, 48, something like that.
Okay. So let's get down to some more emotion on this. You and I spoke about this song and, you know, when we talk like what you mentioned with, you know, Snoop said M's on a top 10 rapper on his list or top 10 lyrics, or I don't know what it was, right? There's so many different categories now. People say rapper, which is rapping ability, lyricist, which is your content, and then you have, artist, which, you know, you make the better records, you know, like there's this whole division now in between people say top five, top 10, whatever.
Yeah.
I am obviously a lyricist, right? Like the guy can do wordplay like nobody else.
He is. To the point where you can't even understand the words anymore.
Yeah. Content wise, it's like, you know, I tend to lean on that song, Stan.
Yeah.
Because there's and this is something I've always felt about him. I feel like he's always been such a great, like when I heard Stan, you're like, oh, this dude's an amazing storyteller rap.
Yeah.
Like the pictures in your head as he's saying that. And you're like, yo, this dude can tell a crazy story. But then it always goes back to just kind of flipping words a lot in a lot of songs. And I think his strong point would have been to, you know, gone down the road a bit more with the storytelling as opposed to flipping words, because, you know, you and I mentioned, you know, with other podcasts like Maul, and I forgot to send you the Benzino link, but it's kind of like, you know, you hear M rap and he's an amazing rapper. He can spit, he's got lyrics, but the replay value is a tough one.
Yeah, there's a lot of anger in it. So it really is, it's not feel good shit. You pump in the car on a Saturday afternoon, driving to go get some beer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like you might put on Mom Spaghetti, you know, when you're going into the gym trying to get hyped up or something.
Yeah.
But
no, you know what? That's valid. I was trying to think, because Mom made that point where, you know, you go into the club, which I don't go into clubs, so I wouldn't hear that. Having been around the club atmosphere, no, I don't think that's on any DJ's set list.
Right. Like, well, he had some hit. He had some back in the 90s, he had some shit, you know, 90s, 2000, early 2000s, like the turn of the century there, you know, with some of the more, I can't even remember the name of the song. He's like, you know, they don't want Marshall no more. They want Shady. I'm Chopped Liver. And I can't remember how the song goes, but it's kind of, it's like this. He's going na 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 na. Da, na, na, na. And like the hook, it might be the one where he dresses like Bin Laden in the video and all that type of stuff. Like that one got some club play. And I think it's just, you know, obviously Dre was behind the beats and things like that.
Yeah.
But things have changed, right? You know, so we saw both M and 50. We saw them kind of have the Dre bump in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then as their career progressed, and kind of the way I feel with J. Cole, is like everybody wants to sing their own hooks. And I don't think that's always a good look for rappers to sing your own hooks.
Cost less money.
It does cost a lot less money. And if you are a good producer, then do it. But sometimes you got to be careful as a rapper producing your own beats, because all your beats start to sound the same too.
Yes, they do.
You know what I mean? So, anyways, whatever. This obviously isn't a music podcast, but this is an interesting beef. I personally don't think it's going to build up to anything, but I guess it could.
I think they're gonna end up.
Rigby disagrees.
Yeah, he said you know, he said he wants to build the beef. So you heard it here first. Riggs wants to see the beef. He wants to see this roll down.
Oh man, Rig DeLorean.
Greg
George,
you picked a coffee this week. I gotta give you a shout out. It's good.
You ready for this coffee, George?
I'm ready for this coffee.
George, this week's coffee. Geez. Hope I don't get more hate messages for trying to say this name.
Careful.
I'm going to let you say this
because I'm not saying it.
You, no, you're not. I would be, if you said it, I would beep it out. This week's coffee is a Neguse Nare.
Watch your mouth.
From Arcade Coffee Roasters, straight out of Riverside, California. Region? Bensa Sidama, Ethiopia. That's a lot of us going on there. Origin, you know, every list kind of tends to give you a different type of different information. I'm going to go ahead and say the origin here is obviously Ethiopia, but there's a village they even named. It's the Haro Tabiro village. Natural process light roast. The Maisels are the year George was born, 1966. That's 1966.
You lie.
I don't know what the variety is. I did not catch that. This is a single origin. This is a very interesting coffee, George. Just one more note I wanted to say. This is certifications they have listed on this page. NOP, I don't know what that means, and European Union Organic. So we've got an organic single origin, Sidama Ethiopian natural process here.
Are they trying to say that? So it's not certified organic in America, but it's certified organic in Europe.
Right. Probably costs less money in Europe.
They didn't want to pay those fees.
Probably costs less money to certify it over there.
The weird thing is the variety, because it says variety on this, and then they just rip off some numbers, 74158 and 74112. I don't know what that means.
Here's what I'm going to assume. I'm not, and again, every time I assume something, I make an ass out of you and not me.
Sure.
it does mention down here in this three paragraph description of the coffee, which, by the way, shout outs to Arcade Coffee Roasters for, I mean, just giving you so much information about their coffees. There's nothing left to be guessed here, obviously, except for the variety. But they mentioned that the this farmer, what's his name? Asnake Bekele.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Yeah, they said he has a mouthful of gold when he smiles. So it was really cool reading this information because they give so much. But they said he is he's dedicated to making the coffee traceable to its origin. Right. Like, so I'm assuming that if you have there's somewhere you could probably enter in these variety numbers and it's going to tell you where these were, like on a map or what the trade route was for this. Oh, again, gotcha. That's an assumption. But this coffee, I got it solely because of the notes. Yeah, this is what I do now, right? I like to see the tasting notes and say, all right, step up to the challenge on this.
Well,
we have funny, guava jam.
Yeah. I love me some guava jam.
We have rose and not rosé for all y'all Beckys out there.
Oh.
And we got peach.
It's a good mix.
George, let me know how you feel about this. I have just precursor to this. I have mixed emotions on this coffee, but I want to hear from you first.
First, I just want to point out that the producer of this coffee, his first name is a snake. So when like he walks to a room, I just want to point this out. He walks into a bar, like everybody's like, "Oh no, a snake!" It's like, no, it's a snake.
That's a snake, which kind of sounds like a Star Wars character.
It does. But this name right here.
Asnake Bekele, you could see him like on a starship. Anyways, go ahead.
Villain or hero? That's a villain name for sure. You can't have snake in your name
and be a hero. So maybe he's a villain. Mm-hmm. Is he humanoid or is he an alien?
No, he's a reptile. Alien reptile.
Damn, with gold teeth.
Gold teeth, shoots coffee out of some kind of coffee gun. Yep.
205 degrees Fahrenheit.
Believe it. Melt your shit. Look, the writers of Mandalorian, if you would like to reach out.
That's John Favreau. Let me text message him real quick while we're on.
Go ahead and email us at johnfavreau@justthedrip.com. Gregor, coming from someone who's had a good deal of guava jam, and I'll preface that.
Oh,
in Cuban cultures, because I'm seasoned, having been around lovely Cuban people most of my life now, they have something called pastelitos. Mm. Pardon my enunciation there. That's how I say it. I call them pastelitos. Also,
did you not mention this about 5 episodes ago? I think.
Oh, I have. I've mentioned
this. You said the in-laws were coming over and making them or something like that. Okay. All right. Yep. Continue.
And they're delicious. But inside those, there is some of them have just the guava and some of them have guava and cream cheese.
Okay.
And then they're like this real flaky. It's funny you say that because I brought it up in my tasting notes. Because I really like this coffee. I do.
I think it's fantastic.
I think, you know, and look, those that listened last week, don't get upset. I don't think I picked a banger last week. And that's not to put it down. Episode 59. Not to put that coffee down, but I like the taste of this one better.
Time out, George.
What?
Episode 60.
Yeah.
We didn't even skipped do the right rhyme. Over. Damn.
Milestone.
You can't get gets wits me. Does that work? You can't get wits me.
You get to rhyme 25 minutes in. That's great.
Well, you know, I just want to let them know what it is.
If I can get into my G grading.
Okay, let's hear this.
You pop this bag open. Mm. I get hit with like coffee candy right out of the bag. To me, it has a sweet smell.
Time out. I have a dog. I have a dog barking over here. He disagrees with your Q grading, your G grading.
Throw him a handful of coffee beans.
Hey, Rigby, will you kindly shut up?
Kindly.
Can you believe this shit?
You know what? I bet Jody's riling him up.
Can you believe this shit? Where's that? Hold on. I'm about to go put a leash on this dude. Jody's trying to kick him out. Just illustrate. Jody's trying to kick him outside and he's saying, nah, I'm not going out there. He won't go outside. Oh my God. We got to edit this out. This is ridiculous, George.
This is great.
It's like WWE in my living room right now. He won't go outside.
He gonna bite her?
Jody's outside. He's inside.
He's shutting the door, locking it.
I hope he closes the door. Yeah.
Oh, that would make my day.
See, this is why I couldn't continue yet. Ladies and gentlemen. Oh my God. I'm going to have to go start podcasting in the car. I'm going to have to run a power supply to the car.
Your and just audio podcast. Is really clean.
Just put some foam panels up in the car. Okay. Yeah. All right, George, I'm sorry. Let's get back to it. You cracked the bag open. There was a coffee candy coming through.
I cracked the bag, coffee candy. It smells delicious out of the bag. Did a phenomenal job roasting everything. And we'll get into the packaging after this, but it smells terrific. I did my regular G grade ratio, 16 to 1. And right out of the brew, lifting the top off the manual, it's got a garden earthy smell. And I know a lot of these, some of these have like a piney smell or a forest smell. This one's a little more, if you had fresh soil, if you're potting or planting something, to me, that first smell has that kind of ground earth smell.
Interesting.
That's what I got. Now, first taste, maybe a hint of the guava, but again, this has a earthy, hearty taste, meaning you get that real coffee flavor right out of the gate. But most coffee would taste delicious with pastelitos, but I would say the guava piece in here would definitely pair. If we're doing coffee pairing now, I would like to pair this with some pastelitos. And then when this coffee cools down, I definitely start getting more of the fruit sweet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once it cools off. And by the way, I'd like to point out that I'm not just blowing smoke. My coffee's gone.
Dang, you went through the whole thing already.
Yeah, I went through the coffee. It really does taste that good. It's delicious.
Yeah, let me tell you guys about this coffee on my end here. I'm not gonna lie. I read the tasting notes and I said, guava jam. Get the fuck out of here. I cracked the bag open this morning. Now, allow me to tell you, I've had guava maybe two or three times in my life. You know, never a lot. But it's to me, coming out of the bag, it smelled like straight up jam. I was blown away. I was like, no. I closed the bag. I gave it like five more seconds, cracked it open again, smelled it again. This smells like a jar of jam when you open it. There is a bit of an earthy hint. I did get that too, George, but I get this overwhelming jam smell that comes out of there. And I kind of couldn't believe it because I've never smelled that before in a coffee. It's the sugary scent and it's almost very berry like to me. And if I were to say, you know, it's not as distinctive to me as what like would be, you know, obviously we know what the blueberries usually smell like, the blueberry varieties that come out of Ethiopia. This is more of a muted berry, like maybe a strawberry or something like that. I just couldn't believe that. I was like, no, this coffee smells like jam to me. I have yet to have anything hit that note. The amount of times I've seen jam written on a coffee description. Brewed it up. First taste when it was hot. It was very earthy. I got more of this earthiness than I did anything else. Once it cooled down, though, it came back to this berry type of jam for me. And damn it, if it didn't have a slight rose to it. Meaning there's something floral in there, you know, that is not as herbal as it is like a flower type of flavor. You know, like an edible flower of sorts.
Like a tea? Maybe like a tea?
It's very tea-like. I after reading these tasting notes, I went a little heavier on the water. After I brewed, I added some water because these are such delicate notes. I wanted to try to get those. So I added a little bit more water and, you know, my consistency of my coffee itself is more tea-like. Peach, I can't vouch for that. I don't get it in the nose, you know, in the cup. Not really getting it in the taste there. I guess if it was peach, I can't remember which one it was. It was maybe 10 coffees ago that claimed peach too. Maybe it would be kind of an unripened or whitish type of peach. No, not super sweet if it's there. But then there's this earthiness that's in the aftertaste, you know. For a terrible joke, it really grounds everything afterwards. You take a sip, you go through this sweet flavor, you get a floral flavor, and then you just get a really, a really mild earthy note at the end. There is no bitterness in this coffee. I'm blown away that even when it was hot, I didn't even get, you know, bitter notes at all. So the acidity it seems so low to me too. And I don't know if that's because I added a lot of water or not. Usually, with fruit, notes in your coffee, you tend to get a bit of an acidity that punches it more. This, I don't get any acidity in it either. So
no, this is very easy to drink. It doesn't have a bitter or acid taste. That's why I said it had a fruit sweet at the end, because I'm like you, I don't eat a lot of peaches in the house. If you would have said like maybe a nectarine or orange or something like that, I do like oranges. So get a lot of that, but it didn't, I can't pinpoint the peach in there. It just has, definitely a sweeter end to the coffee once it comes out. And I like it.
This is really good. Shout out to Arcade Coffee Roasters. You know, when I was growing up, when somebody was from Riverside, California, it was kind of like the rough white people part of California. Easy. And I haven't been to Riverside. I've always just driven through it, driven past the exits, you know, like when you're driving down to LA. I never really like pulled off and kicked it in Riverside. I would go find this coffee shop.
I think it's a great idea.
It's unbelievable.
You want to get into this bag design?
Oh yeah. Before I wrap it up. Yeah, you're right. The bag design. What do you think about this bag design, George?
We get the chance to review a lot of coffees. Obviously we've done 60 coffees at this point. If you're following along at home, every once in a while we get to sample some coffee where the coffee's not just phenomenal, but you can tell the influence by the roasters or the owners of these coffee shops most likely spent some time in the design world. And the subtle nuances in this bag design, I want to say that they either knew design themselves or they worked with some quality designers, which means they had a lot of money, because I don't think this would be a cheap design to develop. Just given all the little pieces that they put into this. It's really cool bag. And just like the side inserts with the spot UV, that's the only thing.
Yeah. The side panels. I love it.
And then even on the back of the bag to add kind of like confetti, a confetti style coming from the top. You know, and just like the little stuff, like at the bottom of the bag, putting a little note on the bottom of the bag, like all this stuff, every time you print on these different panels, last week's coffee, and not to put them down at all, it was just a black bag with a sticker on it.
Right.
You know,
right.
A sticker and a logo. So it's not putting them down because maybe they don't come from that background, but I like to see the coffee the coffee people who own the shop put this kind of effort into a bag.
I agree. I think, you know, obviously there's a budget that has to be had to do this type of not only design work, but then to be printing these custom bags like this. You know, and obviously we're seeing more of this, like the sticker that they tip on to the bag to kind of not kind of, but to actually specifically tell you what roast this is. The roasting date was on here. Okay, God damn it. I can't anymore. What, Rigby, shut it. He's unbelievable. He'll be quiet all damn day the minute I get on this mic.
I like that he barks only when you're talking.
It's unreal. Anyways, I don't even know what I was saying. If you guys want to check out Arcade Coffee Roasters, they're located in beautiful sunny Southern California, not near the beach, but over here in Riverside, 3672 Chicago Avenue, Suite A. Yeah, threw me off too. I was like, oh, they're in Chicago. I thought I ordered this from California. Riverside, California, 92507. You can call them. I don't know why you would, as we say every episode, at 951-266-6839, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturday through Sunday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., and they even have a hipster weekend brunch, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Check them out, arcadecoffeeroasters.com. And man, I'm going to say it, grab a bag or two. These guys are legit.
This bag, and you know, we splurge in a little bit, just kind of show you where we're flexing. This bag was $22.50.
It was $22.50.
That's up there for 12 ounces of coffee.
Right.
Just a side piece on this bag. They left nothing to waste, because as soon as the way they designed it, the slim, if you hold this sideways, the slimness of the bag, as soon as you crack this open, the beans are right there.
Yeah.
There's no,
I love it. You don't have to. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no gap where the beans are like kind of halfway down. They fill the bag. So I don't know. I can't say enough good things about the.
And I agree with you on that, George. I liked when you get the bag, it's like a tight brick, you know, it's like, you know, it's like my kilo arrived. And then you crack it open and there's no air space in there. The beans are right there, ready to go. It's impressive. They did a great job. They have this down. I guess they know what they're doing here.
A little bit. Go check them out. This is a good coffee. This is a tasty one. Hopefully they're pouring this when you go in.
I'm sure they probably are. I would hope so too. It's amazing. Yeah.
You ready for some news, Rigby?
That dog, I swear to God, man.
Coffee news. I'm talking about coffee news. You know you want coffee news. Coffee. I don't want to crap on the news too much because, you know, it is part of our show. But you know what? There needs to be more happening. I know there's more happening in coffee. I don't know if they're focusing on all this other stuff to write about, but we need to get back to talking about what's going on in coffee. And we're hitting you with another article about the health of drinking coffee. What makes this one different is that they're talking about the study that took place in Italy. And the subject of this one is: Italian study suggests espresso can help fend off death. That's bold. That's a bold statement. This article came out January 5th, so this is very, very new. One of the things I want to point out, Italian study analyzed data on 20,487 adult men and women that were part of Italy's Molisani study. The cohort involved adult men and women aged 35 to 94.
Jesus.
Well, yeah. Grandma, you want to be in study?
Grandma. My grandma did not even get near that age.
Yeah, that's great grandma. That's not even grandma.
Jeez.
Ages 35 to 94 at the outset, beginning 2005, were free-form cardiovascular disease and cancer, and were followed up for a median period of 8 to 8.3 years. Mm. That's a long time. So this went all the way through 2013.
Yeah.
That's a long study. The researchers determined that a moderate consumption of 3 to 4 cups of Italian style coffee. For those that don't know, every time you put a nationality in front of like Cuban coffee, Italian coffee, it's espresso. You can call it whatever you want. It's espresso. 3 to 4 cups of espresso per day was the sweet spot associated with lower risk of all cause mortality, particularly cardiovascular related mortality. So heart disease sounds like this attacks heart disease, maybe increases those, the veins,
your blood vessels. Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know I'd have to read more about this to know exactly how it's helping. Italian style coffee. That's some burnt ass coffee usually that they make as an espresso. Same with French roast. Like George said, don't put nationalities in front of your coffee. It's just a way to dress up usually poorly roasted coffee.
Oh, well, it's not so much the coffee. It's not like they're not making Italian coffee. It's the style of coffee they're making. Oh, right. You want to have some Italian coffee? That means espresso.
This is interesting. I would say it's stupid, but I guess it's not, because I guess this is just usually what they're going to drink over there. Right. Probably. It's probably the standard, period. It's in Italy. It's quote Italian style, which I know what you're saying, George. At the same time, I feel like that could be like, God forbid, it's an espresso. You give me an espresso, but I don't like it really strong, and I add hot water to it to make it a cup of coffee.
Oh, they're kicking you right out of Rome.
That's that American style coffee.
Yeah. Did you just make an Americano? Get the fuck out.
That's exactly what would happen. Well, I mean, I hope this helps me. I got heart problems, you know? I might die soon.
Do you?
I have a regular heartbeat, yeah.
My heart's strong.
Oh, no, my shit.
Some say the strongest.
I've had an irregular heartbeat, like, God, probably since I was, like, 18. Still kicking up.
Way to go. I'm proud of you. Well, it sounds like you need to drink some 3 to 4 cups of espresso daily.
Let me go buy some burnt ass coffee real quick and then espresso it.
So when I make the lattes around here, I got.
Okay, Barista W.
No big deal. No big deal. I'm flexing. I do have the Vesta espresso roast. It's very, very tasty. You could drink it solo, or you can put it with a latte.
The old goddess.
Yeah, it's good.
The Vesta goddess. Yeah,
it's muy.
They know what they're doing over there.
It's very good in Spanish and bilingual.
George, it's funny. I thought of this because I was reading this as I was searching for news this morning. In Italy, they write espresso, espresso, even though the word's origin in Latin rather implies it should be written with an X. Simply because Italian doesn't have the letter X, whereas Latin did. Other languages,
you mean Italians
such as,
don't have a letter X.
Listen, I don't know what they're talking about. I'm just reading their own alphabet? You. I'm reading you what I'm. I'm trying to think. Hold on. Now, obviously, we don't know anything about language. Think of an Italian word that has the letter X in it.
I can only think of names, but I don't know.
But like, okay, let's just get ridiculous. Lasagna, fettuccine, Alfredo.
Oxtail fried rice.
What'd you just say? Oxtail?
Oxtail fried rice. That's not Italian?
Well, in Italy, it's probably asstail fried rice.
You know what? They harvest crops and stuff. You're telling me that they never had oxen or any kind of those animals in Italy?
They probably did. They probably didn't call them oxen, though. They probably called them buffalo, water buffalo,
big cows. Blue cows.
Yeah.
Blue cows.
Yeah, big blue cows, right? When's the last time you saw a blue cow?
I know. Never.
It's
just
not
in cartoons.
It's you're right. Was it what's his name? And his ox babe.
Yep. Forget his name.
He wore the Oregon flannel.
Yep. Sure did. I keep wanting to say Big Ben, but his name's not Big Ben.
What was his name? I feel dumb right now. Damn it, man. And then you had John Henry, like the black dude that like built the railroad by himself. He was like 7 foot tall.
He's strong.
Yeah, he was in the cartoon. He was real strong. George, let me finish my part of the article here.
Okay, go ahead.
let's see here. Other languages such as English and French use X in many words, where Italian doesn't, because these languages have the letter X. As an example, express equals fast. Thus, we deduce that as Icelandic has the letter X, we should pronounce the word expresso like that with an X. So I guess in Icelandic countries, they do have the X in the spelling.
Side note, I do have that Scandinavian blood in me, according to my 23andMe. Not a lot.
I was hoping we would make one episode out of the last 20. We didn't talk about your blood.
Well, saving lives. So, I mean, we should talk about it. Talk about positivity, and that's, other than me being O negative, it's pretty positive.
You ho positive, dog.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Straight ho positive. Okay, I got it. Look, George, this I can't believe, by the way. Let me say this much.
Go ahead.
We're only 46 minutes in.
I know.
Wow. This is how we bring in the new year? This is how we do it?
Over a new leap. We hitting you fast. We hitting you hard and fast. Hope you're ready.
Side note, I did stop over at George's house over there in Arizona yesterday.
He saw all the flags.
This dude sits on the porch. It's 42 degrees out, on the porch, smoking a cigar, drinking coffee, watching football. Oh, it was so American. I applied for a visa the next day.
Please, let me tell you, to come back over. I'm glad you announced yourself, because I let all my neighbors know. That cigar, I learned later, and this is pure luck. I've been going to a cigar shop here in town. Give them a shout out in Fuego. I really cool people. I haven't, you know, like sometimes you go places and they're maybe like they're maybe a little snobby or something like that, because they know a lot about stuff.
Yeah.
These people are so cool. Like I reached out to them on Instagram, and the dude Char, who I think he's part owner in the store, but super cool. He's like, man, come in anytime, give you a tour, check it out. They have like a private section, and they have a regular section. But I've been chilling in the regular section on Thursdays, just kicking it, having a cigar, watching sports. Basketball happened to be on, but I never could play it. So it's not like
we don't play.
It.
Yeah. We don't play that basketball.
But no, just really cool people, like sitting there shooting a shit, and it's crazy meeting. Like I ran into a dude, that I met the week before. Super cool guy. He works at the Wynn, sports book. It's cool, 'cause this guy knows everything about sports. Like he knows everybody on both sides of the ball when you're watching football, everything.
Yeah, it's too much for me.
Ran into some coaches. They coach in town, and like one of the dudes actually grew up in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And we like know, if you've spent any time coaching in Vegas from, 4 or 5 years, all the same people. So we're shooting shit about all that stuff. So
that's cool.
Really cool.
I mean, I do like, that's one thing I'm this is going to sound cheesy, but I do kind of miss just going to bars and striking up conversations with people on occasion.
I love that shit.
Yeah, it's cool. I've met some of the craziest people in the world when I was younger, and would just sit at a bar and just, I met one dude who was a conspiracy theorist, but I don't know, man. I felt like his shit was cheesy. Telling me about how the government was buying up all the oil wells in town, like in certain states, who's buying up all the oil wells and then sealing them. Not all of them, but specific, like certain ones, and they would seal them over. And that's how they made sure that the price of oil, the demand and supply were balanced out, because they can't be producing too much oil, because we have so much oil in this country, but X amount of it goes into our stockhold, and then we don't use it. And that's why we purchase oil from other countries. But because meanwhile, we're hoarding all of our own oil.
Hitting you with the real.
Man, this dude was going off. He was telling me off. I was like, oh, okay. I thought he was crazy. And then you start thinking like, damn, maybe this dude knew something.
Well, the cigar I had yesterday.
I didn't ask you about that cigar. I was talking about oil wells, George.
When you came in.
Jeez.
It was an Oliva V series, and it was delicious.
What does the V mean? What does the V series mean?
I need to read more because they had different letters for different series. And the person that recommended it to me said, hey, the V is really good. So I don't know if that's the binder or the something, not the binder, whatever the mix is inside, whatever, maybe the V represents some kind of regional.
The makeup. V is really good.
Oh, the scar. I don't even know.
That's what she said.
But that's what I grabbed. And I loved it. It was good. And that cigar, now I did take a break and have a sandwich and stuff. But that cigar lasted me the whole Buffalo Bills game. So it was good. It was good. And it stayed lit. That bad boy, I'm telling you, I feel like, and I'm learning more and more, but the ones that are done right just stay lit all the way through. They don't turn off.
Right. You know what they always say? A good cigar ashes itself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they used to tell me when I would smoke cigars.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. There you go.
Sounds smart. You're very
George. Cultured. I'm educated in various fields. The field I'm educated in right now is knowing when to wrap it up. I think that's it, man.
Wrap it up, B.
Wrap it up, B.
Another great week. Another fantastic coffee. This one's going to rate pretty high on my 2020 list, given that it's, you know, what, the second coffee.
Yeah. One of my what do you call it? New Year's resolutions is to keep kind of a tighter track of my feelings about coffees. So we can kind of do a best of coming up this year. So
yeah,
this one's in the number one spot for 2021 so far. So
up there. Very up there. I like it.
So shout outs to Arcade Coffee Roasters. Shout outs to the whole Riverside, California. Is there a river in Riverside?
You would like to think so.
You would like to think so. Granted, Green Valley, Las Vegas isn't very green.
It's pretty green.
Yeah, but not very green.
But Green Valley is not a city. It's an area.
Yeah, true. What about Spring Valley? It's not always spring there.
True. But it's Spring Valley. Do people have an address? Spring Valley.
Spring Valley and Winchester are specific townships within the city of Las Vegas.
But the address isn't Winchester, Nevada, is it?
You can put Winchester, Nevada in your mail. Would not be considered incorrect.
I'm not doing that.
So Winchester and Spring Valley. A little bit of Las Vegas trivia for you.
We live in America. I'm putting America.
Is mama named America? I'm gonna call America. All right, y'all, catch you in 61.
Later.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Just the Drip. Be sure to follow us on social media. That would be Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at It's Just the Drip. If you have any questions, you can reach us via email as well, or if you just want to say hi. We're also taking suggestions. Maybe there's a particular coffee you'd like us to try or talk about. info@justthedrip.com. And you can listen to us on Spotify now. So we're on Spotify as well as iTunes. And then, of course, any podcast app that you use, you'll be able to find us. We prefer Pocket Casts. There's quite a few others out there. So just look us up, Just the Drip. Have a good one.